Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to WTIC's Pet Talk. Today, Lori Fast takes your pet behavior questions. This is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, or star WTIC from your cell phone if you have AT&T Wireless. And now, Pet Talk.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of Pet Talk. I'm here today until 2 o'clock, and I'm always happy to hear people call in with questions or topics that they want to discuss or share. So if you have something like that in mind, and you don't mind potentially being put on hold momentarily when you call in and Kevin takes your call, then I would love to hear from you. So the numbers are 860-522-WTIC. And as always, I share with people my website, which is LoriFassDogTraining.com. And the reason I'm sharing that is because if you thought of something after the show is over, or you don't want to be on the radio, although I have had people call in and Kevin kind of tells me, well, a caller called in, they had this question, but they don't want to be on the radio. So that, I guess that's an option too. But anyway, if you want to get in touch with me off the air, you can go to my website and get my phone number off the air. You can get my email address. And just to put it out there, don't text message me, because the phone number that's on my website is a landline. And for some reason or another, people keep trying to text my landline and then tell me that they texted me and they seem perplexed that I didn't get the message. But I think when you text a landline, you get a bounce back that says it didn't go through. I'm pretty sure. But people don't check that, apparently. So anyway, just heads up. You want to talk to me off the air? Go to my website, LoriFassDogTraining.com. You want to talk to me right now? Call in right now. Love to hear from you at 860-522-WTIC. So one of the things that I wanted to just bring up as a topic, and I've been asking different people if they've heard of this story, and it's the story of somebody's pet Asian monitor lizard named Goose, who was living in Massachusetts and apparently slithered out the owner of that had Goose's window. I guess he had the window cracked open, and Goose thought he'd go on an adventure. And this was a story that I was following, and I obviously gravitate towards anything animal related. And Asian monitor lizards are an animal that you're not supposed to have, okay? So whoever I don't know the name of the person, and it's kind of irrelevant anyway, but when he reached out and said, Goose is loose, people were interested in trying to help him get Goose back, but not back to him. So Goose was somewhere up in, I think, Webster, Massachusetts, and traveled into Connecticut And there were goose sightings because goose was apparently about 5 feet long, and that includes a rather long tail. And then goose kind of made his way back up into Massachusetts. And they're, you know, I guess they can climb and they can burrow into things. And goose was like a darkly colored lizard, but he was a domestic animal. So, you know, he is not native to this area. Asian monitor lizards are from climates that are warm. It's certainly warm now, but if they didn't find him at some point, he, as the winter approached, if he was just left to his own devices, he would freeze to death. So this search went on and on and on, and finally he was spotted found in a tree root, kind of burrowed in between the tree roots, and you could see his tongue kind of slithering out. And I guess he, you know, they were narrowing down where he was. People were marking with paint on the road, last goose sighting. And I guess two reptile specialists had some kind of little, I guess I'm going to call it, I don't think it was, but I'm thinking of a snare pole, which is what they use for dogs. They had two of these things, one on each side, and they lured him out with chicken. So, and he's not an animal that's used to fending for himself. He's an animal that's used to having people bring him food. So he's probably pretty hungry. So I guess he came out enough that they were able to grab him with these poles and pull him out. And then, there's a reptile sanctuary in Massachusetts that will be taking him. And apparently they're building him his own special area of where he's going to be. And so I guess Goose is having a happy ending here. And the owner is not going to be criminally charged for this. I think he did receive some sort of a citation for having an illegal lizard. But the lizard is okay. The guy is, you know, kind of got a slap on the wrist, which stands in direct stark contrast to a story that I talked about, oh, I don't know, months ago, about somebody that had a, not in this area, but they had a pet squirrel named Peanut, and they were putting him on Instagram, and they had Peanut for 7 years. And then he got raided. Peanut was taken away. I think he had a pet raccoon. That animal was taken away. And those animals were euthanized, which, you know, that created a big uproar. And it certainly seemed excessive and unnecessary to me. But that, in the case of Goose, did not happen. Goose is safe and sound and now in an animal sanctuary. But what's kind of brings to attention with this whole Goose story is, I wonder if the owner of Goose is feeling sad and would have really liked to have taken him back and really could have provided him with the necessary things that Goose would need. That I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that there are a lot of animals that start out looking kind of cute and sort of, you know, not that much of a big deal maybe to take care of. So I think maybe a baby Asian monitor lizard might be 10 inches long, might be pretty small. And as time goes on, obviously, it grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And I've heard similar stories with people that get baby alligators. A baby alligator is pretty small. You know, it's not like the size of your index finger, but it's small. And if it stayed that size, it would certainly be a manageable pet, you know, for the most part. And there are lizards that people have as pets that stay small, like, for example, bearded dragons. They never get all that big. Or one that used to be very popular. I don't know how, I don't really pay much attention to what of these types of creatures are sold in pet stores, but people used to call them chameleons, but they're really anoles. And these are these little lizards. They run around in Florida. So if you've ever been to Florida, you've probably seen these little animals climbing up your screen. They're little green guys. And, you know, how long are they? 5 inches tops from tail to nose. And certainly those guys are not difficult in some ways to take care of. I think any animal that's a reptile, there are special conditions that they need to have, including climate control, including special diet. So, but the difference between having a pet animal and having a pet Asian monitor lizard is like the difference between having a domestic house cat and a pet mountain lion. You know, I mean, there's a little bit of different responsibilities going on here. But, sometimes people get pets and they really don't know what they're biting off more than they can chew, let's say. And I remember in the 80s, and I don't know how many of you ran across these sorts of stories or people that got them, but pot-bellied pigs were a big rage, okay? And, you know, I'm not saying everybody and their uncle got a pot-bellied pig, but it was pot-belly pigs were represented as an animal that would stay small. And sometimes people would say, oh, it's a miniature or it's a toy. And, the little baby ones are, 8 pounds, maybe 20 pounds if it's a big one. And people were being led to believe that they were going to stay maybe 40 or 50 pounds. But in reality, a pot-belly pig can grow easily to 100 pounds and sometimes up to 250 pounds. That's a pretty good sized animal. And they have certain behaviors that are not necessarily all that friendly for just hanging out in your house. They like to root around and dig in things, and that's a natural behavior for them. They're very social, so if you leave them alone, they're not going to be happy with that. So they either need a companion or they need a lot of people attention. But I just remember, you know, many stories from the 80s on where people were getting these pot-bellied pigs, assuming that, you know, it was going to be a manageable size and a manageable pet. And on average, people were dumping them when they were a year old. So there were a lot of cases where people were getting these cute little piglets and then they turned into something much bigger than what they thought. And the people that were trying to sell them and portraying it as being, you know, something that was going to be cute and small and a manageable size were just, frankly, just lying, okay? And, a pot-belly pig is definitely a small animal compared to your domestic pigs that live on farms. As I said, a pot-belly pig might grow to 100 pounds. I mean, there are those that are smaller. I'm not an expert on this, but I know that there are those that are smaller. But 100 pounds is about average. 250 pounds is certainly not unheard of. But the weight that a regular farm animal type pig grows to sometimes as big as over 700 pounds. And just to put that into perspective, the black bears that we have wandering around prolifically in Connecticut right now, their weight is anywhere from, 150 to 500 pounds. So your domestic pig that you think of as just a regular pig as opposed to a miniature or potbelly can go up over 700 pounds. So, comparatively speaking, 100 pounds, 250 pounds, I suppose, is small. So from that point of view, yeah, they're a small pig, but they're not like, these little tiny babies that stay all cute. And I'm thinking about that TV show Green Acres, where they had that pig whose name was Arnold, and I think he was just a regular pig, but obviously he was a baby because he was small, and he had features of a baby pig, because as pigs get older, their facial features change a little bit, and they're not as streamlined looking, let's just say. So I don't know how many years Green Acres was on the air, but if they had more than a year, there's more than one Arnold, okay? Because the original Arnold, if stuck around, would end up being ginormous. So, but that kind of portrayed a pig in the light of, oh, isn't he cute? He's a little piglet, and you could get this animal. And so maybe somebody sees a little, little Asian monitor lizard, and he looks cute, and it's, doesn't look that big of a deal, and then he grows to be 5 and 6 feet long, and now you wonder what you're going to do with it. So on a slightly less threatening note or difficult note, I did know a Newfoundland breeder who used to insist that if you wanted to get a Newfoundland, that you come and see her adult Newfoundlands at a time when she had no puppies. And if you liked them, then she would sell you a puppy, all right? Because if you look at, it's kind of the same idea. If you look at a puppy Newfoundland, they look like very cute little almost bear cubby looking creatures, fluffy, big feet. But if you look at an adult Newfoundland, they drool a lot. They shed a lot. They're, you know, if you love them, then they're going to be beautiful to you. But if you're not prepared for the size and the drooling and the hair, then you shouldn't be getting a puppy just because it's a cute little looking guy. And I can't tell you how many times over the years I have heard of people getting rid of their dog because it got too big. But they got a St. Bernard or they got a Rottweiler, and now they're getting rid of it because it's too big. That seems, you know, hello, we need to have a little wake-up call. But that's why this Newfoundland breeder that had that policy of let's interact with adult dogs, no cute puppies, and that's what you're getting. It's only going to be a puppy for just so long. And I think people do that with cats, too. I've heard of people getting kittens because all baby animals are cute. And they get a kitten. Oh, isn't this cute? And then they grow up to be a cat because that's what they do. And then they dump them. So anyway, it goes for monitor lizards and kittens. What can I tell you? But I think we need to go to a break. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. It's 25 minutes past the hour, and I'm here until 2 o'clock. And if you'd like to call into the show, you are certainly welcome to do so at 860-522-WTIC. So anyway, I just wanted to share some tips for people who have dogs who, if you're giving them a treat, are maybe a little bit grabby. You know, people love to give their dogs treats as a reward for doing the right thing or in training. And sometimes in training, dogs don't care about treats, which might seem funny to some of you, but when I start my group class, one of the first things I ask, are there dogs in here who don't particularly care for treats? And there's usually a few who don't. But what I'm going to talk to you about right now is dogs who maybe like treats a little too much and get a little too crazy and will try to, you know, don't have real good discretion about your finger versus the treat. And they just grab it so fast that it ends up, you know, your hand becomes part of the treat, which clearly we don't want to do that. So one way to do this, and this is going to work for a dog who's not really completely out of their mind, but if you take the treat and you completely cover it in your hand, so it's right inside your fist, it's not sticking out. In other words, you're not holding it between your thumb and forefinger, in which case your dog could think your thumb and forefinger are part of the snack. If it's completely flat in your hand, enclosed, and then you let your dog sniff and wait a second, and then open your hand, and the dog's taking it out of your hand on a flat surface, okay? So dogs that that's not going to maybe work for are dogs who are now trying to insert your entire fist into their mouth, and then that might not be a very good idea, okay? But there's something else that you can try, and I have done this with a couple of dogs that it's worked actually very well. I have a dog I'm going to test it with tomorrow who's really intense with this, and I'll have to get back to you on how this is going to work. If you take some tongs, you know, the kind of tongs that you'd use to take a corn cob or something out of boiling water. So it's like a metal tongs that's maybe about, I don't know how long it'd be, 12 inches long, something like that. And you pick up the treat with the tongs, and then you offer the treat on the end of the tongue. Because what that's going to do is a couple of things. The first thing is going to be that you're not going to be yanking your hand back, and who would blame you? But if you start yanking your hand back, that kind of gets your dog to be more excited, and that becomes a vicious cycle. And then the other thing is that the tongs are clearly not the treat, okay? So if your dog is not paying attention and is just biting your fingers, it doesn't feel all that different. I remember holding a chew toy for a dog one time, and they were chewing along and everything was great, and they were enjoying me holding the treat, and they kind of, you know, went up the treat and then took a chomp out of my thumb, and that hurt, let me tell you. But they had no awareness that that was going on. But if you have the metal tongs and they're trying to grab the tongs, that will give them awareness, and you can feel confident. And so if they get used to taking the treat gently from the metal tongs, it sounds kind of crazy, but they're going to be more gentle about taking the treat. And if you do it for long enough, then you can transfer it back to the other method, or eventually just handing it to them the way you might normally do between your thumb and forefinger. So I'd be interested to see if anybody takes me up on that suggestion and lets me know how it works. But it's something that I just kind of concocted recently because of having this problem with a few different dogs. And so far, it's been working out pretty well. But as I say, I haven't put it to the ultimate test of a dog that's really super, super pushy with this kind of stuff. But if anybody out there listening tries it, let me know how it works for you. But we do need to go to a break, and we'll be right back. Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. You're listening to the Behavior Edition today with Lori Fass, and I'm here until 2 o'clock. So if you'd like to call in at 860-522-WTIC, you can do that. Next week will be Dr. Dennis, and on the 23rd, I think we've got Red Sox, and then the last week of August, which is the 30th, I'll be back on again. So we had a caller who calls in the show all the time, but didn't want to be on the air, but he wanted to make a point. And it's funny because I'm assuming he didn't want to be on the air, because usually when he makes certain points, I disagree with him. So the particular point that he wanted to make was I had just shared before the break that a good way to help train a dog to not grab treats is to use a tong, like a, you know, metal tong you'd use to take your corn out of the boiling water, something like that. And the point that he wanted to make was that that's dangerous because a dog could break their tooth on the tongs. And I think that, obviously, I'm going to disagree since I just used that as a suggestion for people to do. But in my experience, when I'm doing this, first of all, the tongs, you're holding the tongs. You're not clamping the tongs in a really, like, the tongs are flapping around to some degree. In other words, there's some play. There's some give in the tongs. The tongs are open. They're not like a big chunk of metal. When a dog is feeling the feeling of the tongs, they're not trying to just mindlessly grab onto things, all right? And one of the reasons that dogs mindlessly grab onto things is because they're afraid you're going to yank it away. So if you're just holding it there, it gives them a second to kind of think about what they're doing, and it makes it so that you don't have to feel like you have to yank your hand away because your dog's going to chew up your hand, okay? So with the dogs that I've used this for, they take the treat, they feel around where the tongs are, and they're not even trying to bite the tongs, okay? So it's not like they're just mindless, rah, 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 give me a. And if they were doing that, I'd probably drop the tongs and then the treat would be on the floor and they would ignore it anyway. So the actual way logistically that this kind of comes out is not, I don't think, as Joe is visualizing it. But, you know, there are going to be people who are concerned about it. And if you're concerned about it, you don't have to do anything I say. I remember one time Joe called in, and I use as a standard training technique, it's in my list of things that you need for training, a 20-foot long line. And I don't think that there's any substitute for that. If I want to work from a distance on a stay command, or if I want to work from a distance on a come command, it's a staple of training that there is no substitute for. And Joe had a horrible story about how somebody got all tangled up in, I'm not sure exactly how the story is, but somebody got all tangled up in a dog long line, and I think he had to untangle them, and it was bad. Okay. So there's always some, and also Joe doesn't think I should play Frisbee with my dog because he's going to get orthopedic problems and so on and so on. And are there some risks? I can't say they're not. You know, a lot of things have risk. There's always a risk benefit kind of weigh in with almost anything. I give suggestions. This is what's worked for me. This is why it's worked. Is it always going to work? Well, no, I don't think anything always works. Might it have some risk? Well, I suppose a lot of things have some risk. But, you know, I would hope that people who are listening are not just going to mindlessly follow my instructions or anybody else's, because every situation is different. And that's all I have to say about that. So I know you didn't want to talk to me on the air, Joe, but, you know, I did make your point for better or for worse. So anyway, okay, so we have another caller. So we're going to talk to Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Laurie. Good show.
Thank you.
And, I have a 5.5-pound chihuahua, and, you know, if I reward him, he wants his treat on the floor. He won't take it out of our hands.
Okay.
And same thing with a cat, but, yeah, the chihuahua's nature is to bark, and I kind of curtail it by, I have a squirt gun. I don't even have to squirt him. I just show it to him. But is there any way, when the doorbell rings or someone's coming to the door, he just goes ballistic and barking, and,
Well, let me ask you a question. When you, let's say the doorbell's ringing, and then you squirt him, or you show him the squirt bottle, does he stop and that's it, and he just stays quiet after that, or what happens?
Well, he'll usually run away, and then he'll come back and bark, and then I just show it to him. Usually when he sees it, he does stop. He stops barking.
Okay. But all right.
I'd like him to not start barking. But.
Well, honestly, especially with a chihuahua, but really with any dog, if he hears a noise, it's normal for him to bark. And, you know, suppose somebody was at the door and you didn't know they were there and he's telling you and now he's saving the day. You know, there's kind of like a thin line between right. This is really useful and you're being a pain in the neck. So I think that, you know, with certain types of behaviors, I say there's rules and there's commands. A rule is you just can't do that. All right. So, for example, a rule would be you can't just go into the garbage can and, you know, have lunch. That's no, we're just not allowing that at all. You can't pee on my foot. You know, that's against the rules. But barking is often a situation that I put into a command category, which is you can do it, but don't keep it up. Okay. So one of the things that I'm going to make a couple suggestions on how you might maybe improve what you're doing with the water bottle. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of people tell me when the dog sees the water bottle, they will run away or be quiet for a minute. And what's happening now is the water bottle is the command to be quiet, not you.
Right.
Okay. So what we're going to do if we're going to use the water bottle is, first of all, one of the things that I tell people to do pretty universally, and if you have a little tiny dog, you know, you can just use, you know, some kind of cord or something like that that you can step on so that if you need to, you know, stop him in his tracks, you step on that. Because if he sees the bottle and he runs away, he's really never getting a correction, is he?
No.
Okay. So let's say he has the little drag line on him, and you can even practice this. You can probably ring the doorbell yourself or bring it up on your phone, you know, sound effects. Okay. And so he's barking, and if you don't say anything, he can bark. If you say quiet and he is not quiet when you said it, you're going to be stepping on that line so he can't run away. And if he sees the bottle and then he's quiet, it's too late.
Yeah.
So even if he's quiet, he's still going to get squirted. So the point is that you say quiet and he's quiet, not he sees a bottle and he runs away. Now he can't get squirted and he comes back and ha ha ha, now I'm going to start again. And then it becomes kind of this on again, off again thing. Okay.
Right.
Because dogs will really take you literally on this. And you can also introduce maybe a noise correction, and different things work differently for different dogs. Though a squirt bottle works well, usually for Chihuahuas, but there are some dogs that won't work on at all. But if you were using a noise, it could be a can with pennies.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be like a pie pan that you just drop, like a metal pie pan that you just kind of drop on the ground, or a lid, something that makes a noise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that is something that, you know, it doesn't have to land on him. It can just be near him. You know, we don't want to drop a pan lid on him. But, you know, the point being, if you tell him to be quiet and he's not quiet when you told him to, regardless of he, you know, pretends like he's being quiet, he's just playing you. All right. That's a weird way to put it. But I know of people that have told me stories where they have a bark collar, and the bark collar will reset after two barks, meaning that the collar will allow for two barks and then will correct the dog. And so I've known dogs that will bark twice, stop, reset the collar, and then bark again. Are you there, Bill? Are you on speakerphone? I'm hearing noises.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. So it's kind of like the bark collar where the dog is trained to bark twice, be quiet, bark twice, be quiet, bark twice, be quiet. And so dogs will do that to people. Okay, I'm going to pretend I'm quiet until whatever the correction is no longer a correction, and you forgot about it, or you're not ready, or you're threatening me, and you go back and forth and back and forth on it. Okay, so if you say quiet, once the bottle comes out, don't wave it in his face, kind of keep it in your pocket or get something small. And if you say quiet and he's not, right away. Or sometimes what I'll use is like, you know, the chains that people use to hang chandeliers or plants.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can make like a circle, and you can keep that right in your pocket. So it's hard to see, and then throw it on the ground.
Yeah.
So quiet, and then bang, throw it on the ground. But to say he shouldn't bark at all, well, you shouldn't have got a Chihuahua. I don't think that's realistic, but getting him to be quiet when you say quiet, that is fair and that is realistic.
Right.
Does that make
Very
sense?
Good. Yes, it does.
Okay, good. So hopefully that'll make it a little bit easier, and you'll just have to love his barky little self. That's all.
Right. Well, he's a cute long-haired chihuahua, brown, golden, with a little white on him.
Well, good. Okay, Bill. Well, thanks for calling
thanks,
him
Laurie.
Today. Okay.
Right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. So anyway, I think we maybe need to go to a break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Hello, and welcome back to Pet Talk on WTIC. You're listening to the Behavior Edition today with Lori Fass. Next week will be Dr. Dennis. So if you have some medical questions, you might want to think about that. So you can call in next week. And I'm sitting here in the studio, and I'm thinking to myself, this studio is beginning to look like my living room here. What are all these remotes and all these books and random things? And there's a whole lineup of Avery's sodas. And I'm looking at the Avery sodas, and one of them says, save your pets, vote Trump. And I'm thinking, how is Donald Trump going to save, how's that going to save pets? And then I remembered, oh yeah, that must be a reference to they're eating the dogs and they're eating the cats, which I had totally forgotten about. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there, random. But we have John on the air. We're going to go right to him. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you, Lori?
Good, what's up?
Yes, we acquired a cat. It's a male cat, already neutered and everything else. We acquired him about 2 months ago, and he's a two-year-old, a beautiful cat, but he grows up on the counter, and you tell him, get off. You have to scoot him off. What can we do to train this cat?
Okay, well, first of all, let me ask you this. Do you have other places where he can climb around and be up?
Oh, yeah. He climbs on the counters, on the tables, yeah.
But, I mean, that you're okay with. You don't want him to be on the counter.
No, we don't like him. We don't like him to go on the counters or the tables.
Okay, so the question is, are there other places besides the counter and the table where he can climb up?
Bed, that's it, yeah.
So, no, not really. You'd say no,
right.
No. Okay, so have you ever watched that show, The Cat from Hell, with Jackson Galaxy?
No, I never have.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting show. But one of the things that he suggests, and he talks about cats that are more ground dwellers that like to go under things and in boxes and under beds, and other cats who like to climb on things. And he actually designs or encourages people to put some kind of shelving, even shelving on the wall or something. Your cat wants to be up on something, okay? So, you know, I'm not going to not address the let's keep him off these areas we don't want him on. But if he wants to be up on something, if we could be a little creative about where he could be. I know there are cat trees and some of them are
I inherited the cat tree. Everything with the cat came. I mean, some expensive stuff.
Okay, well, some cat trees just, you know, are maybe 3-4 feet high, and some cat trees are like, you know, 6 feet high. Do you have
this one is 6.5 feet high.
Okay. All right. So he has that. And, you know, you just might want to think about what other areas could he be on. So, you know, I don't know how your house is set up, but could there be a bookshelf? Could you put a shelf someplace with some carpet on it that he could, one of my and downstairs in my house, I have shelving that's attached to the wall, and it has like a mat on it, and my cat climbs up and hangs out there. Okay.
Well, I have a bay window.
Okay.
And my cat goes up on the bay window and lies down and watches everything. And then out on my porch, I have a sliding glass door, and I put the screen out. And then that's right now because of the weather. He lies there, and he's an indoor cat.
Okay.
Strictly indoor. So.
Okay. Well, you know, I always, in solving any problem, whether it's a dog or a cat, you always want to think about what can we do to enrich their environment, to give them what they're looking for, to help them feel comfortable with, you know, what is expressing their natural instincts. Okay. Now, putting that aside, if we want to discourage him from going up on the counters, there's various products that you can get that will help you with that. So one of those things is it's a can of compressed air that's motion activated, and it's called SCAT, which is S-S-C-A-T. So if he walks past it, it goes psh.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And that'll scare him away.
Yeah. I mean, there's dogs that'll think that's a joke, and some cats, nothing bothers them. I used to have a cat. He used to like to sit in the sink, and I thought, okay, I'll turn the water on and he won't like it. Oh, no. He thought that was, you know, like a spa treatment, you know. So
another thing that my cat has, an automatic watering thing. It's a waterfall.
Okay.
When he comes up to it, it activates it and he drinks the waterfall.
Okay. So, I mean, all animals are different, but I would say 90% of cats are not going to want to walk by a can that goes psh, and it's not going to be fun for them. Okay.
Then a water gun
is fine, except if you're not there to squirt him, then it no longer counts. That's why, you know, something that you're not, you know, if you're there, you can train him to not do it when you're there. But it's like with, you know, kind of a little bit reminds me of the call that we had with the Chihuahua, because animals don't want to get the correction, whatever it is. And so they'll try to work to avoid getting the correction. But avoiding getting the correction might entail just being a little more sneaky, okay? And that's not what we're out to accomplish here, okay? So that's why if something does it for you, it's going to work a lot better. Then the other product that works very well is something called Scat Mat, okay? And that's just S-C-A-T Mat, okay? And it's a flat surface and you plug it in, and if you walk on it, it feels like you're, you know how you like get a static charge when you are on your carpet?
Yeah.
It's kind of it feels like kind of prickly, you know. I used to use that around my Christmas tree to keep my cats from thinking that, you know, the Christmas tree was some cat jamboree of some sort. And so when I put the Scat Mat around the tree, they just said, okay, it's really not that fun over there, so we'll just avoid it. So I think if you use those would be my picks for training.
Do you go to a pet store and get that?
You know, I haven't really seen them in pet stores. I get a lot of stuff from a company called Chewy.com. I would suppose they would have it. Or you can check Amazon. I would bet you Amazon would have it.
All right, very good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so Scat Mat and Scat, which is the can.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, you're
you
very
made
welcome.
My day.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, you can report. You can call in and report back, okay?
I will do that.
Okay. Thanks. Well, thanks
Thank
for calling in today. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So we're almost wrapping up the show, and I just wanted to mention, and I probably mention it again, but I had said that I pretty much shut down my group classes in the summer because it's just too hot. And I teach privately through the year, but in the summer and in the winter, for weather reasons, a little different weather, but it's just not fun to gather a group of people where we want to be outside. And the places where I teach are community centers in Windsor and also in West Hartford. And Windsor does have some air conditioning, but it is so, it's just not strong air conditioning. You have to literally be standing under the unit to make it worth your trouble. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because in the first week of September, I'm going to be opening level one and level two classes, both in Windsor and in West Hartford. And I think the towns are accepting registration. I've had people try to sign up for these classes before the town accepts registration, because I know towns often don't take registration too far out from the class itself. But if you are interested in doing a group, it's right around the corner. Summer is kind of winding down, and if you want to get a spot, I do limit the number of people that are in there. And just check my website, which is LoriFastDogTraining.com. Check Windsor, check West Hartford, but I just wanted to make that announcement. And again, I'm sure I'll probably bring it up again before September, but I appreciate you tuning into the show today, and I hope everybody enjoys the rest of their weekend. And that's it for today.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card. They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.